So now we've come to the part where Jerry Hunt stands up and starts walking this way. Jerry Hunt. Yes, yes. Make him welcome. That's right. Jerry. I know. And you're not going to come up here. You're going to go down there. Is that, you're going to come up here. Yeah, you can do something here. Okay. You can be right here. You're going to be down there. Okay. Okay, Jerry Hunt, a friend of the congregation, a member of the congregation, Jerry and Gladys. Jerry preaches from time to time, and he always has an encouraging word for us right now.
Hey, how about that? Samantha, can you hear old Grandpa? Good, good. That's great. Anyway, I'm blessed this morning, not only the privilege of being here, but I was thinking of all the testimonies that were given, and by you will be witnesses for Christ by your testimony, and that happened so many times this morning that people witnessed of God's Spirit moving in their lives, attracting them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's really great to hear. And you can take that from an old hillbilly that is really true, because I know the story of many of the folks, because it's very similar to my story. Before I came to know Christ, I got to look around here so I don't miss anything, so I can see who's sleeping. I was hiding in the back there, and I thought I'll hide in the back so I don't embarrass the preacher by dozing off. And then I heard a voice say, "Idiot, you are the preacher." So here I am, and I bring you wishes from Stan. He said to make sure you say Happy New Year and God's blessing from he and Crystal and their families, because they got a new family joined in this last week in Abbotsford, I believe they were, for the wedding. And so they're rejoicing in that and having a well-deserved holiday. He really serves and serves with all his heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and was looking at that opportunity, that wedding, to be a witness for him too and an encourager in Christ's name. So I see that we've all survived the end of the world. And I thought about that end of the world business. I did indeed. And then I remembered something. Number one, I never heard the trumpet. Never heard the trumpet. And I didn't know. Well, my hearing's bad, but not that bad. I would have heard the trumpet. Nor the voice of the Archangel Michael. Never heard either one of those. So I thought somebody made a bad mistake here, because they didn't look it up in the book. It's in the book, and that's the truth we have. And it's in, I found the greatest example for me was in Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. And through my multitude of posting notes here, used to make a guy out at Great Bend a little nervous. He'd count my posting notes before the service. And Samantha said, "Gee, you got a lot more posting notes than last week, Grandpa." But I said, they're short. So I'm going to read that. The coming of the Lord. And this is what, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage one another with these words, not what you see on the boob tube. There's not much encouraging happens there. In fact, of all, I don't know how many channels we've got, there's only about 5 that we're able to watch, and the rest of them, there isn't much there. But you got to buy the whole mess so you can get a couple of Christian stations and some old fogey stuff that me and Grandma like. And we hold fast to those truths that God will give us a sign. It won't be written and anything man discovers, it'll be from God. Personally. And so I had a time when we had a little scare one time, not so long ago, and I brought to mind this. In fact, I had it blown up to keep close. This is from Psalm 4, verse 8, King James Version. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, For thou, O Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. So no matter what you hear, what's going on in the world, God is keeping us safe for those who believe. And we don't have to fret and stew. Everybody else can be in anxiety and have their bowels in a knot, but we don't have to. We don't have to do that. We can have God's peace because we're safe with him, safe with Jesus. And a lot of things I've heard lately, oh, thank goodness Christmas is over. Oh, thank God Christmas is over. Well, I say thank God Christmas came. Thank God Christmas came, because we'd be in one heck of a mess if it hadn't, wouldn't we? It's bad enough now, but think of how it would be if Jesus hadn't came. If he hadn't came, he hadn't ministered, died on the cross, that precious blood, rose again, and is there for us ever interceding at the right hand of God. So I'm glad Christmas came. And it's only a pain if you get all wrapped up in the commercial end of it. But if you get wrapped up in the Jesus Christ end of it, you'll have great peace. You'll have great peace. So we were blessed at Christmas time. Old Grandma Gladys and I, we'd invited some folks over, some of the guys that we've known over the years. For whatever reason, they couldn't make it. They missed a good dinner. But I thought, well, Gladys got a candle a while back, so I put that in the middle, dimmed the lights. And I don't know what we ate. I couldn't see it, but we had a candlelight supper. No, we had a good supper. We had a good supper. Celebrating Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then we were blessed after that, too. We met with our family out at Stellar. And a whole, not a herd of them, but a couple of faithful young granddaughters are here today that have blessed us. They were out at Great Bend last Sunday for my cheering section. And they're all been trained. If anything goes wrong, you stand up and yell, "Help him, Jesus." And also how loud they yell at, and if they do it at the right time, will depend on how much inheritance there is. You know, Christmas came, and you know, Christmas will be here and will endure in the hearts of those who love Jesus Christ, and it'll be here until he comes back, till that old trumpet sounds. And if we're not walking around when the trumpet sounds, we're first ones up. First ones up out of the grave. So that's a great hope, isn't it? The earnest expectation, that's our hope and our promise that Jesus will do what he said he'd do. And he has. I got just about 74 years of mistakes, sin, and wretchedness. And he still loves me. And he's still one of Gladys's favorite scriptures. From glory to glory, he's changing me. And he'll change each, and that's right, Carl, I don't look so glorious, but from glory to glory, he's changing me. And that's going to happen. That's the promise. So there I'll be, all brand new. And that's right, you know, we get our bionic eye, Elsie, and we can see out of them. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Yeah, praise God. And I told that gentleman who replaced with that little bionic chip that they put in there, you know, God gave you that gift to be able to do that. And he did. This didn't happen by accident. These guys just didn't wake up all of a sudden and they know how to take your eyeball out and plunk that in there. God gave them that gift. Gave them that gift. A lot of them don't know that. They're like me. At one time, I thought I was pretty clever. And the older I get, the more that theory is diminished and diminished and diminished. But praise God. He's got wisdom and he says it's got it right here. Got a whole book full. So, now where was I in here? And I got my little notes here, and I haven't even got halfway through the post-y notes. Now, I got a song that you've probably heard time and time and time again on the TV and on the radio. And I listened to it, and it touched me. I'm going to let you listen to it. But there's a story behind it, behind that song. And I'll tell you after our good friend and God's servant, Rita, would you play that track one for us, Rita? Anybody heard that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rita. So I'm sure you heard that once or twice. 1970, and it was inspired by a music producer in the States, and he lost a child to leukemia. And so he started a foundation to reach out to people with help for leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. And to date, they've raised $100 million that's gone into research and treatment for people. So when he hears Christmas and what have you done, he's done something. He's done something. And it caused me to reflect on my own life in Christ, my personal life, and maybe it caused you to reflect a little on it too. I'm not sure, but it certainly did me. I heard it often enough, and it finally penetrated the thickness. And what have I accomplished? And what have I done? And am I growing in Christ? That's the important thing. Am I receiving what he had planned for me? For he said, I know the plans I have for you. Don't get off course, Jerry. Stay on the plan. You've already been off course for a long time. Stick around. Things are going to even get better. The more you're with me, they'll be better. Isn't that right, Doreen? You're chortling there. God bless you. I love you. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us that we're new creatures, a new creation. So as a new creation in Christ, not as a new creation in me, but a new creation in Christ, am I living it? How do I live it? How am I demonstrating it? And those are the questions I've been asking myself. One thing I thought of, and I think Len mentioned it, New Year's resolutions, absolutely no point. But if we stay connected to Jesus Christ, then we can. Because he said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and apart from me, you can do nothing. So if I'm going to resolve anything, it better be in Christ. I better be tight to that vine. Because some things happen to the branch that dies, off it goes to the burn pile. I've been close to the burn pile, and I want to stay close to the vine. The burn pile is not much fun. So I'm a new creation. And all of you who know Christ are new creations. So look at all these new creations out here. Just think of that. I'm brand new at almost 74. Brand new. In places. That's the bionic eye, Elsie. They take out one part and they stick in another one, but praise God they can do that. They can do that. And so, what do we do about this? Well, we got a whole book of instructions here, a manual, and everybody's got one. They're laying around everywhere, and they're not to decorate our coffee table, and there should never be any dust on them. And they should be in large print for old guys so we can read them. But anyway, there's one of my dear granddaughters out there, and she phoned me, and I've said this before about 1 James 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So it's my role, knowing Christ and all those who know Christ, we're to do it. We're not just to sit around and hoo-ha and come to church as a social club. This is a place to come and worship and learn and be convicted. Be convicted, too. We should never walk out without being convicted. And I told Stan, if he's going to talk about me, I ain't coming back. Because I have been convicted here in this very church, and convicted by the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that sometimes happens to us with the past, some of us with these sordid, morbid passes before Jesus Christ, is that comes back to spook us a little. And the enemy just loves that because he knew what we did, because he was the instrument of our disaster. He encouraged us in it, and we unknowingly sometimes served him. So he comes back with that. But you know what? In Philippians, I found this. Paul talking about he didn't have it made yet. But he says this, pressing on toward the goal. This is from Philippians 3, 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He took hold of us. He took hold of us. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind
and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Heavenward, we sang about that when we all get to heaven. Heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature or maturing should take a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. God will make it clear. God will make it clear. Go to Him first. And it's good to have godly counsel, someone to pray with you. But God will make it clear. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. I'll reveal it to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And that's our struggle sometimes, living up to that, day by day, isn't it? Yes, I prayed for patience and then went out and lost it right away and had to start all over again. But the beautiful part is we live in forgiveness. We can start over again. He said, come on, Jerry, get up and let's roll here. Sit there whimpering. You blew it. Well, let's go and unblew it. Let's go and let me glue it. So, page 16. No, this is page 2. No one need panic. So, I got snooping further. And I know this for sure. I have to be in prayer. And, you know, that doesn't always happen. Isn't that a hard discipline to have? Anybody find that difficult besides me? Ah, we have some honest folks here. Good. That's good. It is. But it's a discipline. And also in God's Word, this has to be open. It has to be read. And we have to seek Christ in it. And the other part is fellowship. If you forsake this, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go to get encouragement? To get friends, Christian friends, who will tell you, hey, you know, have a look at this. Met with a fellow not so long ago, and we had a good time of fellowship in God's Word. And God had spoken to both of us about the same thing in our lives. The ugliness of pride, Jerry. The ugliness of pride. And God said, I cast the pride aside, and I exalt the humble, so better start humbling yourself. And that's true, and that's a struggle. We live in a me world, and it's easy for that ugliness to rub off, me, me, me. But it isn't me, and it better not be me. Too long it was. Now, I found this in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. And there was a lot of overflowing of thankfulness here today. And each one in this room, those who know Christ should be thankful. And those who don't know Him should be thankful. You got a chance here to hear God's Word and what He's doing in people's lives and have a warm, comfortable seat to sit on while you do it. So we can be thankful. And you know, God called us all to be ministers to the world around us. And that doesn't mean standing up and preaching. It means ministering to one another, ministering to the world. He didn't just say just this little group or that little group. So we're ministering where? In our homes, to our family, to our friends, in the community, on the job, to minister to our fellow believers. That's all part of ministry that each one who knows Jesus Christ is called to. Each one of us is called to be that minister, no matter where you are. And I found something about that in Timothy. And this is Paul. He's talking to Timothy, but this applies to all of us. And I started at verse 13 in Timothy 4, and I went down to 16. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And a lot of you are doing that. You're preaching and you're teaching. Do not neglect your gift. And there isn't one person in this room who knows Jesus Christ who He did not give a gift. Everyone has one. So if you don't know what it is, ask somebody close to you or ask God. He'll tell you. He'll let you know what your gift is because it'll shine. It'll shine. And this says, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Sometimes that happens, and sometimes people will come and let you know, and sometimes God will let you know personally. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. There's no Mickey Mouse stuff here. It says diligence, wholly, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So it isn't just for us. It's for those who we speak God's word to and who we encourage in that. So what are we going to show the world? What are we going to show the unbelievers? And also, what are we going to do to encourage the new believers? Because they need encouragement. We've got to encourage them. Say, keep on. And I found that, of course, in Fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. Oh, thank you, Lord, for posting notes. The fruit of the Spirit. And if this is demonstrated in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That means we're to be walking in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. God was speaking to me about pride, because once you get proud, you start to compare. But let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Because each person has a gift. And I'm glad that I don't ever have to wake up in a room full of Jerry Hunts, I assure you. You can be glad too. And many times we fail in these demonstrations. But we can confess and we can repent. And we are forgiven by the grace and encouraged by the love of Christ to keep on keeping on, to persevere, to not give up. And I have one more scripture to read in closing, and I read this to a congregation not so long ago, but I thought it's also here as well. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to make a brief comment on it. This is from Revelation 2, chapter 2, one of the letters to the churches, starting at verse 1 and continuing to verse 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans. That's as close as I'm going to get, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And I thought of this fellowship and all the things that you've done and your faithfulness and your perseverance. But we must also remember about that first love. Because what we can do is we can get wrapped up in doing and forget who the doer is. Who the doer is. So we're encouraged. You should be encouraged by what happens here at Potter's Hands Ministry, and you're a part of it. But we should continue, all of us, each and every one of us, in whichever way we can, to contribute, to strive together in His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, not to lose today or ever our first love, Jesus Christ, who first loved us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Good words, our first love. Good words to start a new year with. And as I promised earlier, there will be some people up here who will receive you and pray for you if you so desire. And we're going to look up the words to Why Me, and hopefully if I can find them, we'll do Why Me. But let me give you a blessing, and that way we're dismissed, and if you need to go, you can go, and if you want to stick around for a while yet, just stick around. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may the love of God, our wonderful Father, and may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours and mine in abundance today, tomorrow, and forever. If you can believe that, my friends, you can receive it. God will get the glory, you'll get the blessing, and that's how God intended it to be. Amen? Amen. Thanks for coming out. As I said, it's not over. Come forward for prayer. Gilles and Carl and Lorraine will be here. Whoever else is called to be a prayer. And just come forward if you need prayer, then, and we'll see if we can do Why Me. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you show? I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus. I know what I am. And now that I know that I'm needed, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Tell me, Lord. If you think there's a way I could try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I'll just show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. I'm wasted in so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I needed you so.